Oh my god, welcome back.
It's Othered.
It's your favorite podcast.
That's what I was
Oh my god, girl, stop it. We're saying the same things.
We're so aligned.
I know.
It's very cute.
Wow, the synchronicity. It is your favorite podcast, though. If you're here, you're listening to us, it's your favorite. I already know it.
Yeah, it's in the bag.
That's right.
We're back for another wonderful episode. It's a sunny day in Cedar Rapids. Crap town. We love you so much.
Oh, I feel like newcomers, new listeners might feel that we feel a certain way about Cedar Rapids.
Well, I do.
And we do.
Yeah.
But yes, there's a lot of love. There's, yeah. We care deeply about this place.
We care deeply about making this place better for everyone who lives here.
Yeah, that's what we do here.
Our producer Logan pointed out something really fun and special to us before we began recording today.
Yeah, it's a big deal to be here on this day.
On this very day. Not only is it February 29th, which
right,
will only come Ooh. Once every 4 years.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. But it's also our 50th episode today.
Mm.
Woo!
Wow.
We yeah. made it, bitches!
Woo! Oh my god, 50.
Oh my god. I will you say
so
it
old.
In Espanol?
50, thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's our 50th episode, and that's so exciting.
It is exciting. I cannot believe we have been here 50 times. Well, more than 50 times, but this just
Through
seems
the
like
ups and the downs and the all arounds.
Yes, all of it. 50 episodes. That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't really wrap my head around it, to be honest.
Me neither. And I don't even remember like what our first, I mean, I know what our first couple episodes were, mm-hmm. were, but I don't ever want to listen to them again.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like it's like, don't look at the past. You know what I mean? The past doesn't serve me.
It doesn't, but I feel like
only
we've...
Only the future.
Yeah, we've come so far.
Yeah, that's true.
We've gotten better at sharing, caring, glaring.
Yeah, all those things.
All the ings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for those of you that have been around from day one until now, thank you so much.
Thank
we love
you.
The shit out of you.
Yes.
And if you could go leave us a like and a review and a comment and a share just to celebrate this monument with us, we would appreciate it oh so much.
Yeah. Sarah would really love that.
And so would you because
do,
of our yeah. algorithm. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's
you're
not
right.
just me.
You right.
Anyway, Caleb's got some really interesting, exciting... versatile energy up in here today.
Versatile. Yeah. Nobody has ever called me versatile before.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like you are.
Thank you.
And this energy, I mean, it's giving everything, literally.
It's giving, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where did it come from?
Yoga. Mm. I did a little yoga sesh this afternoon with our friend Sarah Driscoll, who's been on the podcast.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, girl. Hey. And then I... hung out with my friend Sean, and he's my platonic life partner. And,
cute.
Yeah, I just love him so much. Mm. And we had a really good conversation over coffee and lunch, and that was like really juicy.
Yeah.
You know, there was like a lot of like good, like a lot of good in there.
We
you know
love
what I mean?
The good.
Yeah, it was a lot of meat.
Ooh.
There, without yeah. that being meat, because we're both vegetarians.
I was gonna
so.
Say. Sounds. Pretty boring.
It was pretty meaty.
Meaty.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then I came here and then you walked in the door in all of your glory. And I was
and I
like
walked.
Stunned. I was shooketh.
Okay. Thanks, Caleb. Caleb always makes me feel so good. I had the thought like, should I wear my lucky sweats today? But then I thought, no.
No. And then she unzipped her hoodie and she's like, look, I'm not wearing a bra today. And
yes.
I said, look at them titties.
He did indeed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had to restrain myself from like. You know, the intrusive thought was there.
I'm going to make another clip. I'm going to put this on social media too.
Yeah.
But, Sarah's crying.
You were just like, oh, here they are. And I was like, oh, yep.
Boobs. I mean, it gets really hot in this room, so I just wanted you to know what was coming.
Girl, take it off.
If I got hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I hate wearing a bra.
That is so, you know, considerate. Letting me know that you were coming. You know what I mean?
I always like to give people a heads up, you know?
Chris, if you're listening to this, I'm so sorry.
And I did not instigate this.
That was me. It's me. I'm the problem. I'm sorry.
Well, whew, wow. That got me all hot and bothered. Thanks for the compliment.
Do you know what also gets me hot and bothered?
What?
When we have a really hot, sexy guest with
us. Ooh, tell me more.
So this person that I'm thinking of is a friend.
A friend.
And she does some of the same work that we do.
No.
And she has some of the same values that we hold.
Values.
But she also has a lot to teach us, I think, in ways that, you know, would be, how do I say, efficacious.
Ooh.
For our lives.
A sage.
Yes. Mm. Rosemary and thyme.
Mm.
I don't know how else to introduce her except to say that she's a total badass.
Mm-hmm.
And a very caring, deep individual.
Yes. Yes.
So if you would, please join me in welcoming our friend, Kimberly.
Kimberly, come on down.
Get down here, girl.
Hey. Here she comes.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
She's here.
Hey.
Kimberly Yeager Argus, everybody. Here at Other.
In the flesh.
In the flesh, in the human body.
Ooh.
Mm.
Here I am.
Looking like a snack.
Let's just eat her up.
You guys are the best. You're seriously the best.
We're so weird.
I'm just like, just listen. I just want to listen to you guys this whole time.
No, but we want to listen to you.
Okay.
Get in here. We'll have a threesome. It'll be great.
Okay. I'm here.
Yay! I love it.
Wow. So I'm really excited that Kimberly's here. I had asked her a couple months ago if she wanted to come on the podcast, and she immediately said yes, which I was really excited about because that's not everyone's normal reaction. When,
really?
No.
I feel like you guys get yes all day.
Not enough.
I think we sometimes have to like twist arms. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, uncle, okay, I'll do it.
I was like, absolutely, fuck yes.
You were like, yeah. I want to do that.
She just immediately said yes. And I knew it was going to be a great conversation because like my boo Caleb said,
hey, boo boo,
we have so much to learn from you. You have so much knowledge and such an encompassing, loving view of the world. So I'm really happy that you're here sharing space with us today.
Yeah. Thank you.
One of the first things I like noticed about you when I like first met you, you were just like immediately right off the bat, like deep.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like looking into my eyes, like deep into my soul. And you were like, so what are your values? Like, what do you do? Like, what are you into right now? Like, what are you afraid of? And it was just like,
whoa,
what is going on? And it was like so like initially scary, you know, but you were just inviting vulnerability and it was like very refreshing for me.
Yeah,
because I think that there's something about you that just feels really trustworthy, you know, that there's like, I don't know, something like loving, you know, that kind of comes through you. That's really nice.
Thank you. Yeah. And I just wanted to get to know you like right away. Like, so no wasting time.
Right.
Like, tell me all about you. Yeah.
Let's not beat around the bush right?
Let's not beat around. That's kind of the thing, right? Like, we don't have any time to waste anymore. And so when we find our connections or when we're put in these situations where the connection's there, it's like, who are you?
Yeah.
Like, and don't lie to me. So I'll ask you all the questions around, you know, who you are, where there can be like very little room for error.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's almost something like kind of childlike in that too, though, right? Like you ever see kids like on the playground who are just like, you want to be friends? And it's like, okay, you know, and then it's just,
we're holding hands and now we're friends.
Right. Exactly. Or like the way that kids just like ask like very intense questions, like without really even knowing you. And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I'll try to answer that.
Or say very straightforward remarks that are like, they don't have any shame around that.
Right.
That's just like the truth. Yeah.
Where
do we lose that? When do we lose that? When do we stop being so truthful?
I don't know.
I mean, we three clearly are honest, but like the rest of the
world.
Yeah. I think that has to do with fear, you know, of like rejection or fear of, you know, social faux pas, you know, which I think get instilled in us or like and socialized into us maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that we found each other.
Yeah, me too. Same. And I think, you know, kind of off of that, that topic of fear, mm-hmm. I think is really a good segue into talk about what you do for mm-hmm. work. Mm-hmm. Because you and Sarah have been doing death doula-ing. Mm-hmm. Dueling? Doula-ing?
I haven't figured that out. Death doula-ing. Just saying
being
death,
a death doula.
Being a death doula. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm imagining that like when you tell people that's what you do, that there's like an immediate like discomfort or like probably shock or like, ooh, what does that mean?
I've had all the different responses. Sure. People that are like, tell me more. And then people that are like, oh, what? Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And then, yeah, it's interesting to see how it lands on people, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. idea of it. And sometimes like I know that it'll be shocking to them. And mm-hmm. I'm like, this is what I do. Like I have to like plug it in there. And then they're like, really? But I feel like it's also a planting of a seed for a lot of people, mm-hmm. just like the curiosity that we talk about and why we, you know, even got started in being a death doula is like to bring more awareness around it, mm-hmm. or to have more conversation around it.
Yeah.
Explain to us what a death doula is.
Mm. So big. I mean, I want to ask you too, but for me, a death doula is someone that supports someone in the end of life. And that could be someone that is dying or I would say more in an active stage of dying, or the family and caregivers of the people that are for that person that's dying. And from anywhere from ritual to supporting vigilance to supporting just my kind of whole... meaning behind it is to be with people, right? Mm. In those like moments where it can be really scary, it can be really wholesome, it can be lonesome, it can be so many different things. And I got into being a death doula to be a support system for people that don't have anyone else. You know, like I really don't like the idea of people dying alone. Cause that's just, it's super sad to think that there, I mean, people every day, all day, there's people dying on their own. And so just to think that I can change even just one person's, you know, system of support in those final moments is why I am a death doula. But Sarah, what is a death doula to you?
Yeah.
I think you described it perfectly. I would say that's exactly what it is. Someone that supports the dying or the dying's care team around them. I was telling Benjamin what we were going to record about, and I was like, we're going to talk about death. And he was like, why would you three talk about death? Shouldn't you have doctors and nurses who know more about the death process than you? And I was like, oh my God, you are an asshole. But also, I feel like it's important to note that death doula-ing is not necessarily, you don't have to have a medical background.
Yeah, it's non-medical. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's more of like the spiritual and emotional, I think, support aspect to it, and meant to provide as another set of ears in some case, as an advocate for these people that are passing away or for their families. And, you know, sometimes it involves sitting during what we call 11th hour, which is when someone is actively passing away. And sometimes it involves being a part of their lives while they're still very much alive. Sometimes it's planning for death or helping with estate planning or to get their documents together. Sometimes it's actually being in a hospice facility and sitting with that person. So I like it because it looks like whatever the individuals who need served need it to look like. It's able to be personalized and unique to each person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uniquely tailored to everybody's, you know, needs. Mm-hmm. Right. Because that's not going to be the same for everybody.
Yeah. And I feel like it's also very reciprocal. Like I'm learning so much about what I want mm-hmm. for those final days, if I have a choice, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And a lot of this, like you said, death planning, and not to be confused with like supportive or assisted, you know, ending of your life, right? This isn't what it is, right? It's
right. You're not assisting people die.
No,
I
no,
mean, but
no.
In a way you are, but like,
right, right.
They're not choosing necessarily.
The choice like of them dying isn't.
These are people with some type of terminal situation who, are somehow in the active dying stage.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the idea of planning, which, you know, we have to be really, as death doulas that are kind of being agents and advocates in today's world, is to be very careful with some of our wording, because, you know, words like death planning or the idea of death planning, or, you know, what we really advocate is like having quote unquote a good death, but it's not to be confused again with, you know, something that a mental health support system or a crisis support line would assist with, right? It's people that know that they're dying, like you said, have a terminal condition or of an age where they know they have to have things arranged for the ones that they're leaving behind. And just to be an advocate for people all, to bring awareness to like, you have, if you have a choice now, make those plans of like what you want in those final days of your life. Right. As you hopefully are lucky enough to age to, beyond 50, which is crazy to think of our life expectancy today versus what it was 100 years ago. Right.
Sure.
Like, were we talking about it? Like, people used to, the average death of age was like 3,500 years ago.
Right.
And now we're like, what? 80s, 90s. Somebody just told me their grandma turned 109.
What?
Oh my God.
Like, what a long life.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It is interesting, because I just had, you know, my yearly physical recently, and my GP had asked me if I had a will. And I was like, no.
But with thank you.
Like, well, you might, you know, not to say that you're going to die anytime soon, but like, you never know. And it might be, you know, a good thing to have in place, you know. And just the fact that, and I feel like it was kind of just like a routine question, you know, like, are you flossing regularly?
Are you prepared?
Kind of stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. Are you texting and driving? You know, do you have a will? And it's like, you know,
how did you feel about it?
It was so, like, it was the first time I kind of, like, maybe he had asked that before, and I just wasn't in the mind space to, like, really even receive it. Mm-hmm. But that was the first time I remember being like, oh, that's, like, a real thing. Like, people do that, and I do not have that. And it seems like a really, like, adult, responsible thing to do, but also kind of, dare I say, morbid, you know? That, like, you know, come to terms with the fact that, you know, I'm a human being, and human beings, you know, more or less die.
You're immortal.
Right.
It's temporary.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think coming to terms with that was kind of, I mean, I can't say that I have come to terms with it, but it's definitely on my mind, you know, it's definitely, it's come up more and more, you know, the older I got.
Yeah.
But that was interesting, I thought.
Yeah. I love that because, you know, we think sometimes of the medical industry not being current with the evolution of us.
Sure.
And so to hear that is just a protocol now, maybe in certain areas, is just like really refreshing.
Yeah.
And not to poo-poo on the medical industry. Like, I'm also a yoga teacher, and so just trying to understand all Eastern, Western, Northern, Southern philosophies of things. But I think we can do better in a lot of those areas.
Yeah.
When it comes to our medical industry. But advocacy for this type of thing and reminding people that, hey, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what are you doing now?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What are you doing now?
And I think, you know, it's so interesting because the concept of death, or the topic of death, invites so many other big questions and topics and concerns. So I'm sure you have, you know, plenty of opportunities to do, you know, and have those kinds of conversations. But one thing you do is you hold death cafes. Can you tell us and our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I had to refresh my memory on the history of a death cafe. But in 2011, I believe, in London, John Underwood started these death cafes under this like sociologist who started them. I don't know, that this is blurry for me, Because when you give credentials to people, it's like sometimes it gets twisted. But the only expectation in a death cafe is to bring cake. And it's to talk about anything from death and dying to living, because it's all very relative. Mm. It's not a grievance or support group. And it's just a very lively conversation about all these things that...
A lively conversation about death.
About death, yeah. And things that sometimes aren't welcomed into the conversation. And as a young person, like, I always wanted to talk about weird things and morbid things, you know? And I was always told not to talk about it. It was such a taboo, right? And I'm not, I know I'm not alone in this. Like, once it got to a certain point of the conversation, people's discomfort came up, and or religious beliefs came up, and then it was like, okay, we're not going there.
Right. That's enough.
Yeah.
And the death cafe is kind of like, let's go there.
Right.
Let's go there.
Like, that's not enough. Let's open the door and just talk about
what else. Yeah. Tell me more. And so far we've in the Iowa City area, there's a group of us, the Death Doula Collective of the Heartland, or of Eastern Iowa. We're still kind of figuring out the name of that collective, but we've hosted about 8 now. It's once a month, the last Tuesday of the month, at the Greenhouse in Iowa City. Shout out to the Greenhouse. And it's been amazing. Just the like the other night, there was 50 people there.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's 50. Awesome.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, and on Halloween there was like just probably the same amount on Halloween, right? Which was, I wasn't there for that, but I heard it was so amazing to just see people show up for that. And it doesn't cost anything. And there's like maybe between 5 to 8 people at a table. And we really encourage people to kind of spread out from who they came with so that they can have, they can grow their network, right? And their ideas of what people are there for.
Right. Like, get out of your comfort zone a little bit. So you can, you know, deal with an uncomfortable conversation or an uncomfortable topic. But.
Yeah. And so far for me, I don't know if I'm a little biased because talking about death is like one of my favorite things to do.
Sure.
And not necessarily like, let's talk about death, like that final time, but like more of like, what are we doing here now? Mm-hmm. You know, like, because when you face death, I feel like it does help you to live more presently for me and really prioritize what I want to do now and who I want to be around and how I want to leave my life, like what my legacy is, you know, all these things that we learn as a death doula. Mm-hmm. And it's the most liberating conversations that I've ever had, because there isn't those boundaries of like, let's not go there. It's let's go there and beyond there, you know, and nobody's trying to persuade anyone else. Right. And nobody's trying to fix or control anyone's beliefs or change or. And so it's just beautiful. The diversity of people that come into that space and their backgrounds and why they're there. Right. Maybe it's just the curiosity, or maybe it's the spiritual aspect, or maybe it's, to understand themselves more, or maybe it's just to socialize, you know,
totally.
Cause they like talking about weird things too.
I think I can remember being a little kid and like coming to the realization that, you know, death was a thing, you know, and like getting like sheer panic, you know? And like the first thing I did was like run to my parents and just like need a hug. You know what I mean? So like connection and like being around other people who are like in the same boat as you, you know, being a mere mortal, is something that helps, you know. It's like, it's okay. You know, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We all need that support.
For sure.
Because it's an absolute truth.
Yeah.
When I said earlier, again, being careful with words like you're going to die, you know, that's such a hard reality. Like,
yeah.
I'm not telling you like today, but who knows?
Yeah. Right.
But like we all, that the absolute truth that we all will die someday is something that some people don't think about. They don't want to.
Yeah.
And asking yourself, if you don't want to think about it, you don't want to talk about it, you don't want to plan for it, who are you hurting or who's that affecting mm-hmm. in your end of life, mm-hmm. right? And I've done death cafes online too. I've attended them, and there's one out of Des Moines called the Death Collective of Iowa Death Collective, and it's a different environment because it's all Zoom, right? And you can like turn your screen off and you can just listen, and you don't have to participate, right? Whereas in person is a lot more, hey, you're here and we want to hear from you, you know? But both are really fruitful conversations, and things come up, resources. We have a Facebook page too. Again, the Death Doula Collective right now of the Heartland. It will be of Eastern Iowa. But the Facebook page is basically resources from things like green burials, right? Mm-hmm. To advanced directives, to just like empathizing and like hearing other people's stories. I just posted one on there of a woman in her 30s who was diagnosed with terminal cancer and like how she chooses to live her last days is just like, I don't know anything else that makes me feel more alive. Mm-hmm. Sure. Than hearing from people that are facing death or just, you know, like that courage to be like that bravery of to be like, I'm going to live even though I know I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. And I have like a time frame that's planned out for me. Like that shit lights me up, and not in a like, I'm happy and ecstatic and I feel bad for you, in a like, oh my gosh, we have this one beautiful life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got to make the most out of it.
Yeah. Like, what am I doing?
Totally. Mm-hmm.
I know for me, studying death has definitely intensified my passion for life. I feel like it makes you obsessed with living, like in the moment at all times. And it also makes me hyper aware that my life is extremely fragile, and at any moment it could all go. And I think when we were in training, it was always, you know, top of mind to like picture your own relationship to death. And as we would learn more and get deeper into the layers, you know, it was like, think about exactly what you will miss. And is it the physical things like the things that you have? Will you miss clothes or shoes or food, or will you miss nature and being outside? If you have some type of terminal condition that might impact your ability to be mobile or be conscious, like, is that a life worth living then? Like, what is it that keeps you here and like makes life worth living? And I think getting clear on that is really interesting and freeing, but also realizing the things you're scared to lose is equally as interesting. So I'm wondering, as you've sat with some of that yourself, what is it, and maybe it's more than one thing, like what fears do you have still surrounding death, even as someone who is really into this world?
It's a great question, because I'm still really scared to die, even though I'll have the conversation about it all day, you know, the fear of the unknown, and leaving people I love behind, and how I'm going to die, you know, is it going to be painful? Is it going to be quick? Like all those things. And then the process, like you're saying, the quality of life before I die, right? I'm, you know, 37 and really young, I would consider myself, and able-bodied, you know, I have a lot of abilities in my body. I feel very lucky. And recently I've been having just these age pains or these injuries that are like just showing me what it is to age, right? Or to move away from an able-bodied, like my knee, you know, it's been going out and stuff like that. And it just like gives me this whole trajectory of like, what if I couldn't walk? What if I was in a wheelchair? Or what if I couldn't do the things that I do today? And that scares the shit out of me because I'm such an active person, always have been a very active person. I love having the freedom of activity, of roller skating, of doing yoga, of jumping on a trampoline. Although I pee my pants most every time, just like, yeah, the youth of the body, right? And the ability of the body. And so that's a fear. And, you know, I've seen patients and I've had clients in my companion care, end of life care at hospice, as a hospice volunteer, that lose their minds, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's. And like, I'm looking at them, but I'm not seeing them. I'm trying really hard. That's like my whole thing, is like my dharma is to meet people where they're at. And I'm trying to, but a fear of mine is like, and I ask myself this, would I rather lose my mind or my, the ability of my body as I age? Like,
I'd rather lose my physical ability. Being trapped in my mind is my biggest fear about death. That and what would the kids do? And I'm not really afraid to die. And I attribute that to mental health shit. But those are the two things I can't get over. If I were to be trapped in my mind with my thoughts and unable to express or get away. And oh my God, what the fuck are the kids going to do if I die? And that's really it. Everything else, I'm like, you know, I'm at peace with it, at least now. And I think that shit can change too.
Yeah. What are you doing about those fears?
Right. At 70, I might be way more afraid. My reality might look different. Sure. My current situation might be, well, will be extremely different. And so I also am open to working through new fears as they come. Like, I realize this is all fluid. This is just where I'm at right now. And it's easy not to be afraid, I think, when you don't have pain, when you're still physically able, when you can eat, when you have so much life in front of you.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for me, it's like, I know we have this like reptilian part of our brain, right, that is constantly working to ensure our survival, you know? And so it's this idea that like the fear of death is, you know, very deeply ingrained in our psyche. You know, it's like the very basis, you know, it's like one of those foundational levels of consciousness, you know, is wanting to continue consciousness
and to continue living.
Exactly. Survival. Right.
Survival.
But going back to one of the things that you were talking about, brought up this this idea of, you know, making life seem more exciting because of death. And that was an idea that I first heard too recently when I read Oliver Berkman's book, The 4,000 Weeks, basically talking about how, you know, the human life essentially is only about 4,000 weeks. When you put it like that, it's like, oh shit.
Whoa.
Right. And like, what am I doing with my time?
Yeah.
And it, death, like the finality of it, kind of gives meaning to the choices that we make, right? Yeah. That like, if, you know, if life was infinite, it wouldn't matter if you spent 50 years, you know, working in a, in an office, right? You know what I mean? Because it's just a drop in the bucket of eternity, you know? But if you only have, you know, 70 years and you spend, you know, 50 of them, you know, in an office or doing whatever, and it's like, what's the meaning, what's the purpose or whatever, you know? And I remember thinking those thoughts when I was reading this book a couple months ago and being like, oh shit, what is it that I'm doing with this limited time that I have?
Yeah.
You know? And it makes it like, not only does it like, I need to cram in as much as possible. Like, I really need to live, you know? Yeah. I need to keep my eyes open. But I think there's also, you know, on the flip side, there's the fear of like, oh God, this is going to come, this is going to be over so soon. Like, I just want to put my head down and like not think about it, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of being, becoming a death doula too, and just a reminder, like, I'm so green in this, right? Like, it's, I'm only a year into the, even trying to wrap my head around what this is, right? And I think I reckon with this idea that, yeah, there's only this one life from what I believe, right? I've entertained all the ideas of like what it could be, you know, maybe I do reincarnate. Maybe I, you know, I've dabbled in all different religions and the ideas of what happened after this.
And even if you do get reincarnated, you're not going to remember the life from before, you know, so it's going to feel like a fresh new one.
Right.
You know?
Like a rebirth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there an afterlife? Is there, it, will I come back as a ghost? Like, I've entertained all these ideas. It's so much fun. And if you haven't done so, just try it. Like, just dream about it. Like why not?
Play with your imagination a little bit.
Yeah. But also with this, if I, if this is the only life and I only have this one life to live, like I've dabbled between like, just do what you want to do. Right. And I, I've gone there, like, okay, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And I've kind of imagined what that looks like for me. And then it's like, well, there's other people living here too, though.
Yeah.
You know, I got family, I got friends. Mm. And I think a lot of the reason we went into this death doula is because we believe in community and we believe in support and we believe in each other. And so how do I do what I want to do, but be responsible and care for other people, knowing, as Ram Dass has said, you know, we're all just walking each other home and we're all going to that place where we will eventually no longer exist. And so how do I, yes, do what I want, but also do what's, because I've also heard this in my yoga teacher training, and I don't know, I'd love to chew on it with both of you. What's good for you is good for everyone. Mm. And like, that can be really shallow. Yeah. Like today, what's good for me is probably to like sleep. Is that good for everyone? Maybe. Like, if I get enough rest, then I'm a better mom.
Right. Then you're a healthier person.
I'm a healthier person for my, you know, my relationships. But like, some people don't understand what's good for them, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the whole idea of self-care has been twisted. Mm-hmm. And so like, yeah, what's good for you on a basic fundamental place of survival.
Sure.
Which is like our human needs of like, so, you know, care and food and
shelter
and water and community. All those things and community. Yeah.
We need relationships.
It's so simple, right? So like when you seek out those things that are good for you, it is good for all.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so when people think like the phrase YOLO, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to get wasted. And I'm sorry, I'm stereotyping some people, but you know, like these ideas of like what YOLO represents,
right.
Like go out there, travel the world.
Yeah.
That'd be great if we could do that, you know, economically, sustainably.
Yeah.
Sustainably.
Yeah. In a way that doesn't destroy the planet or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, selfishly, I do travel. Like I teach retreats. I co-teach on retreats, but I'm always like really like considering it, you know, like, but if I were to like do what I wanted to do, I'd be gone all the time. Like I'd be traveling all the time. I'd be charging everything and I'd be, you know, I feel like living sensibly is a better way. So there, as a death doula, I'm navigating all these terrains for myself so that I can show up for other people with the same questions in a more wholesome, like cultured, thought out way.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of death doula is just like being present.
Yeah.
So if I get all these things out of my way and I get myself, I get out of my fucking way, then I can just be there with whatever is coming through for that person.
Yeah.
Fear, joy, questions, curiosity, faith, religion, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to be attached to any of that. I'm not, you know, that's their life and their death.
Mm-hmm.
That went into a different angle, didn't it?
That's all right. I feel like that's just the vibe of our energy.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned before a good death. What would you say a good death for you is?
Whew, a good death would be to have as much choice in it. You know, to hopefully...
You're speaking to like autonomy. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Choice of like what... Let me sit with this one because I have, you know, in our training, we had to write out like, what if we had a choice in the final hours of our day? What would you want? Right. Mm-hmm. Final day, final hours. And it went down to like, what would I want to be wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What would I want to see? And things that I said were like an open window. Mm. You know, no matter what the temperature is, I want the window open. Or at least be able to see outside, you know, or be outside, you know, depending on my conditions. And all of this is like, I've written this and rewritten it and like just continued to edit it.
Mm-hmm.
I would want soft clothing on, you know, furry socks, but I'd want them taken off if I was sweating.
Mm-hmm.
I'd want like a nice lavender smell. I'd want silk sheets. I'm getting bougie.
As you should, I know, upon your death day.
I want someone like giving me a body massage. You know, I want to be hydrated. I want like good food, like good nutritious food. I want my family to be there. Mm-hmm. And I want them to not pay only attention to me. I don't want them to feel sorry for me. I don't want them I don't want them to be sad, but that's not my choice. So I didn't put that in there. And I want them there and living their life there so I can be a part of that, even if I can't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I want artwork. I want to, if I could make art or have the choice to do that. And then after I die, like I want to have a green burial and I want my body to be, I'm going back and forth because I know in my life there will be new innovations of what is possible for us in our bodies after we die, but I want it to be green. I want it to be as natural as possible. I want to return to the earth and the mm-hmm. soil, and I want to be repurposed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in a casket that I can't decompose, and I want the bugs to eat me, you know?
Right, recycling mm-hmm. matters.
Yeah, yeah. I want that all to, and hopefully under a tree wherever I'm at, or mm-hmm. if I'm young and my kids want to spread me around wherever they travel.
Yeah.
I want them to have choice too, and my family and the ones I leave behind, I want them to have choice, and I want them to be able to sit with my body and have a home funeral mm-hmm. if that's comfortable for them, where they can take as much time as they need to with my body to process mm-hmm. my finality.
Yeah. I think that something... And I remember reading, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, right?
Yes. Karen Doherty, yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing. But I remember, you know, this concept of, you know, death being, having become such a hidden away thing in our society, mm-hmm. like especially in Western culture, that we put it away. Like as soon as somebody dies, like we send them to the, you know, mortician or whatever. It's like, get the death away from us as soon as possible, or like have it in a hospice area or like whatever, you know, like
it's
cover it up. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so like we have to hide it, yeah. you know, we mm-hmm. have to protect ourselves from death, right. you know, at all times, socially, you know, intellectually, whatever. It's like, it just has to be very far away. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's not how it's been done. You know, it's like a very recent thing that yeah. it's like, oh, hide it away, you know? Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, in a lot of cultures, there's a kind of like welcoming of it. It's like a communal, like we're gonna
it's a celebration instead of like this horrible traumatic experience, right. I think it's hard yeah. both in both ways, but you're more celebrating the person's life mm-hmm. and it's community care,
and grieving can happen in a community,
yes.
and like in so in a support way, you yeah. know, like I don't know,
yeah,
it just seems so individualistic
yeah,
to totally. Me now, you know, it's like.
And it's again back to fear, you know, right. all the myths that kind of are encompassing, like the body is contaminated and you can get infection and you can get disease, where really the body's only, you know, you're only able to, it's only contagious when it's alive, right?
Right.
If it is dying from, if the body is dying from something contagious. Sure. But like there's cultures, and I'm not sure where exactly, I want to say like in Mexico, where they like keep the bodies, and like every once in a while, every year or every celebration, they bring out the skeletons or the remains of their loved ones, and they like dance around them and dance with them and put cigars in their mouths and like celebrate them in their afterlife of what they believe, right? Or there's so many cultures that celebrate death in such a beautiful way that it is connecting. It's not disconnecting.
Right.
Right. And I think there's so many things that we disconnect from in the Western culture. And I think we're changing. Like, I'm trying to be more mindful of, like, let's forward think here. Because, like you said earlier, the past isn't going to serve you. But, like, how do we forward think? Okay, we're changing the idea of how we live and die. Mm-hmm. And we can change that by having these conversations, by normalizing these like these choices mm-hmm. and these plans and objectives, and we can write out things that we want and share them with our loved ones and talk about it. And it's not just a formalized will, which mm-hmm. can be so dry and like very mm-hmm. daunting too. Yeah. Cause it's like legal terms, like right. legal mm-hmm. documents. And what do I do if I don't have anything to like put in my will? Well, there's more than that, right? There's mm-hmm. all these other things like I just listed. What do you want? What kind of music do you want to be playing? You know, do you want company? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be at home?
What do you want done with your body?
Yeah. What do you want done with your body? Do you want to be in pain or do you want to be, you know, aware?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What do you want done with your body? That's a big one.
I don't think people realize that there are choices. And I honestly, without having gone out of my way to take a training like this and then, you know, like searched some laws in Iowa, I wouldn't either. But a home funeral, when I've brought that up to people, they look at me like I'm insane. And I was like, I'm expecting someone to bathe me and dress me and properly, you know, like cool my body until the people that I want to have said goodbye can come. And here's who I don't want to have come, and do not let them in my home, because I feel like at funerals, there's always like one person that the family fucking hates that has the audacity, right, to come to the funeral. And it's like, you can't do much in a public space.
I feel like that happens in movies all the time.
But you know what? I think, like, look at my dad. That happened. Oh, I popped up. And I'm just like, there's always some shit. So for the people that, you know, feel for some reason they want to have acknowledged my life after not actually, like, acknowledging my life while I was alive.
Sure.
You can do that in public. But I want my family and me to have that experience together privately at home. I don't want other people to be a part of it. Like you, I want to be really intentional. I have planned what I want to wear, the music I want to listen to, mm-hmm. the way I want to be touched, and the way I want my pain controlled. But I wouldn't know that those options even existed had I not been willing to be open enough to the idea to learn about it. And thinking about the ways we hide ourselves from death, one of the things we learned in our training, or we were encouraged to do, is use the word death, die, dead as often as possible. Not passing away. Not
losing.
We've lost them. They're in a better place.
No euphemisms.
Yeah,
just
no.
Straight language. Yeah.
You've died.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's not a scary word. It's not like cursing someone into hell. They've just died. Right.
Don't participate in the taboo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try as often as I can to ask people, like, what's going to happen to you if you die at home? You know, I could move you. And they're like, but I've asked my mom, I'm like, can I practice moving you? You pretend to be dead. And then I like move you around my
house.
How'd
that go? Tell me more.
She was like, oh my God, I don't know any other moms that have to have these conversations with their kids.
Poor Chris.
I know. Bless her heart. But I'm like, you know, this is stuff that's important to me. And I want to be able to help people. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think of too, how much funerals cost. And it's just so inaccessible for so many people, whether they have life insurance or not.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking, actually.
It is
a business.
Yeah, it's a business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it never used to be like that, but it is now. And I think, wow, a home funeral mm-hmm. would be just as impactful, probably more special for families, and 110% cheaper.
Yeah.
You don't have to get embalmed. You do not have to really call. I don't even know. You might have to call a funeral home so that I think it's easier for them to like do the paperwork and stuff. But a lot of that is significantly less than it would be to have a funeral home involved in the whole entire process.
Right, like you have to have a death certificate, right?
And you can do that on your own. But who wants to do that? Like when you're, no one wants to start that process
of
themselves. So it's easier to have someone else do it for you.
Yeah. This actually kind of brings into one of the conversations that we've had before about how there's a level of selfishness involved in not making a plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That like you're, you know, abdicating responsibility over your body and putting that on somebody else's shoulders.
Right. Yeah. Like that whole saying, like leave the earth better than you found it, right?
Sure.
Like, don't just, I mean, I've heard so many people, and again, I just get shocked when people say things like, I don't care what happens to my body. My loved ones can do whatever they want with it. And that like, there's so much that I want to meet them there. I want to, like, my whole role, meet people where they're at and just kind of see why? Tell me more, you know? Mm. But a lot of it is just like, but your loved ones need to grieve. Mm-hmm. They want to mourn, and they have the last thing that they want to do is guess mm-hmm. what you would want. Because that's what it's going to come down to. And if you have more than one loved one, which chances are high, they're going to have different ideas mm-hmm. of what to do with your body.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then do you want them fighting?
Right. Right. Like, there's so much unnecessary. And then also you mentioned financially, right? Like, right. Like financially prepare yourself for what to do with your body. Mm-hmm. Right. So that your loved ones can just get to the priorities of like
grieving,
missing you, loving you, and
celebrating your life.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, you know, there's not that extra layer of like worry, concern, plan, money,
business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Take care of the business of dying so that like the human part of dying can be enjoyed, I mm-hmm. guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, that like connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, let's keep connection.
Yeah.
And that like disconnection, because the interruption of the mourning and grieving process can be really hard
with all the bullshit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've seen it in my own family with, you know, a loved one that's not, hasn't even died yet, you know, just like everyone has a different idea. And it's beautiful, but also can get really hard when big decisions need to be made.
It can get messy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so if the person that is the one leaving has those decisions already made, they're like, here's my paper. This is all the things that I want. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that just seems so connecting and really like responsible.
Mm-hmm. My, I haven't shared this with you guys before, when we were having our conversation before, but my parents actually gave me a manila envelope with their will. Mm-hmm. And it was like, this is how we want to be taken care of. And I had forgotten about that until just now.
Wow.
That like my parents already, you know, took care of it.
Yeah.
And they were like, here you go.
Wow.
And good parents. Like,
yeah.
You know, like heartbreaking, you know, in some way that like I am having also to come to terms with the fact that my parents will die, mm-hmm. you know, at some point.
Have you read it?
I started it and then I got really freaked out and I put it away, you know, because I started having an emotional experience where it was like, I don't know if I can deal with this quite yet, you know, but I am grateful that it is all written out for me, you know.
And you don't have to deal with it yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What a beautiful thing, mm-hmm. you know, when the time comes, and what another living piece for them to like, for you to like carry forward for them. Yeah. That's wonderful. That's what I hope to, I mean, that's what I'm creating for my children. There's still a part of me knowing my youth being like, oh, I have so much time. Mm. Or that's like another myth, right? Because like, who knows?
Never know.
Who knows? You could be in your, you know, early 20s. Like, there are people at the Death Cafe last night that, you know, are in college. And then there were, you know, people in their 80s that have like a terminal condition. And they're like, I'm just so happy there are spaces that I can come here and talk, and nobody's trying to like feel bad for me or like feel sorry for me or like try to fix me or like, I just want to live. Yeah. I just want to live and be in, and she keeps coming back, you know, because it's such a welcoming, gentle conversation.
And there's cake.
Last time there was not cake, but there was snacks.
Okay.
We're minimalizing it to sweets. Because you never know now. You know, people are like, I'm gluten intolerant. I can't have dairy.
And YOLO, bitch. Just fucking eat it. You'll be fine.
You get the shits, but it'll be all right.
Yeah, totally worth it.
Yeah.
Won't be able to do that forever.
Right.
Yeah, we have sweets. Mm. We have sweets. And Sarah, we're going to also have a Death Cafe breathing room.
Oh,
yes.
Cedar Rapids.
I love that place.
We're gonna try to breathing room. Breathing room yoga.
Sarah Driscoll. Girl,
Second Avenue, 608 Second Avenue.
Wow.
No, that place.
I love that place.
Crazy.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Glory.
Yeah. Sunday, April 21st.
10:30. Like
April. It's coming up. It's February 29th.
Girl, it's around the river bend, okay? YOLO. Don't even talk to me.
Around the river bend.
Right. February's already over.
It is.
I mean, as of the end of today.
Don't rush Black History Month, okay?
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
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 But, you know, tomorrow is another day. And that other day
we're
would
not
be in
there
March,
yet.
You know? But then, you know, all of a sudden it's April, and then all of a sudden it's May, and okay. then all of a sudden we're 70 years old and we haven't come up with a plan for our death. And it's like, oh shit.
Oh shit. It was just February.
Yeah, it was just February 2024. What?
Okay.
I have a question.
What?
Okay. I have a question for you too.
Oh no.
Oh god.
How much time do we have? Do we have
as much time as we fucking want?
Okay, okay, okay.
Look at Logan. He's like, actually.
Since you asked me what a good death it was for me, I want to hear from both of you.
I'll go first.
Yeah, I'll let you do that one first.
Okay. I think to have as much control as I want, if I am still present mentally in a happy place, I'd like to be as present as I can. But I want my pain controlled. I want to be at home. I want my children to be there or whomever. If I have animals, I want the animals there. If I could be outside, if it was nice enough, I would love that. But I get so cold. So if it's like October to April, probably not. I want to be in really comfortable clothes. I want my life playlist to play, and I'm working on it every day, just adding my favorite songs in life. And I
did
think
you mean sex playlist?
Some sex playlist songs will be on that playlist. Yes. People are going to yes. be really surprised yes. at what I will be dying to.
Top hits.
Yes, top hits of Sarah's life.
Yeah, bitch better have my money.
Yeah, ooh. there's definitely some interesting tunes yeah. on there.
Oh, great, love that.
If I'm able to eat, I also want good food. But if I'm not able to eat, I want to be able to pleasure eat or pleasure taste, which is basically when someone just puts food on your mouth so you can taste it. And I do want a home funeral. And then my children, if there's something that honors their beliefs after my own are met, they can do it. I also want a green burial-ish. I want to be turned into dirt, and then I want all the house plants in my house to be repotted in me and given to chosen people.
Wow.
I know. I just think that
level
sounds so
up.
Cool.
Right.
I know.
That's like a serious plan.
I need to go home and rewrite my plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a plan, so I'm just going to come up with it on the fly.
Well, what sounds horrible? I mean, like, you might not know what you want.
Right.
What sounds like the worst experience?
Sky burial. Have you heard of that?
What?
Oh, I just heard about it.
What is it?
It's not legal in Iowa, where you basically take your body to the highest cliff and let the birds have you.
Oh, I don't like that.
Okay.
Could you imagine Scratch. Mount Trashmore like littered with people?
Oh my god. What the fuck?
That's like the
someone was really excited
here.
About it, but then illegal in Iowa.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Good to know.
Okay.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So that might be the worst.
That sounds terrible.
That sounds the worst. Honestly, I feel like what I'm imagining is I don't like wearing clothes. So I love being like naked in my bed. So like if I'm in my bed and I'm naked, great, perfect. Got covers on, obviously, and I love being cozy. So like the more blankets, the better. I also like the idea of like a fireplace being close by. Like I love the sound of, you know, the crackling fire. And I love the smell of it too. There's just like something really earthy and like nostalgic and lovely about it. And I think like in terms of like music, I don't know if I could deal with music. Music feels like it'd probably be too much, you know, it'd be like sensory overload because I'm already going through a lot, you know what I mean? And so I think that like if, you know, if I'm in, like in a cabin or something like that and like outside where there's nature, like having the windows open, like being able to hear nature, you know, would be really also good. I don't know. I like the idea of, you know, touching, like somebody holding my hand or like, I almost kind of had this image too of like, you know, being sick and my mom just like rubbing my hair, you know, just like something soft.
Like gentle touch. Yeah.
Yeah, comfort gentle touch. Gentle. Yeah. Comforting. I don't know. That's kind of what I imagine. I don't know about drugs or not, but the sober part of me is like, fuck the drugs. But there's also part of me that's like, fuck the pain.
You're dying.
You know what I mean? So I don't know.
And all that can change, right?
Right, like, totally.
It's fluid.
It depends on how old I am. I might be wanting to be, you know, if I'm in my 80s and I'm in pain, give me all the drugs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, just keep me comfortable.
Yeah.
If I'm like less than 80 and I, you know, my kids are still like, and I have grandkids, you know, who knows? Mm-hmm. I want to be awake. I want to be aware. I'll take the pain for a little bit. Mm. So it just keeps changing, right? Yeah. It's not a fixed plan.
I also had this question. Sorry, I just had this idea. I love in French, the word for orgasm is the literal translation is small death. Mm. Is little death. Have you heard that before?
No, but it makes sense.
It really does.
Right? There's like some kind of ecstasy involved.
There's like a surrender.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're like...
like waves of pleasure, but you know, death might, you know, in some way be a kind of ecstatic experience.
I think that's where the death doula comes in, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Is because it is this like surrender or this threshold of something that may be bigger,
pass pleasurable from one side to the other.
Yeah. Well, and oftentimes people have bursts of energy during death.
Yeah.
They report seeing people, hearing voices, seeing angels, and that might be those little energetic orgasms of death.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The death could be orgasmic in a way. I don't know. That was just something that came to mind. That's,
I love it.
We need that on a t-shirt.
What would it say again?
I don't know. Something
small
about
death.
Death is orgasmic.
Ooh.
That would be a really interesting death cafe shirt.
Orgasms and death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's like, talk about
death by orgasm.
Bring your dildo with you to your deathbed. You know, I don't know.
That
sorry,
might be...
Chris. I'm so sorry.
Oh. She's probably like, whatever.
She probably stopped listening a while ago.
Yeah, good point. I have one more question. Were you going to say something?
No, Sarah. I love it when you ask questions.
Okay. What is your favorite thing about living?
Ooh. Yeah. Mm. Mm.
You go first.
No, you go first. Okay, she was the question was to you.
Was it to me?
It was to everyone.
Relations. My relationships.
Mm.
Especially like the closest relationships, you know, seeing my kids grow up and learning more about them, learning more about myself through them, my partner, my husband, even though some hard relationships are in my life. There's so much worth living in those hard relationships as well as those loving, easy relationships. It's just all so related. So relationships.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd probably have to agree, you know, that I think that it's a double-edged sword, right? That like, I think it was Adler who said that like all of life's problems are interpersonal problems, you know, that like every problem that we have is because there's other people, right?
Mm. Yeah.
But that's also where the biggest joy comes from, too. You know, that I think that we as people, as human beings, don't really have a very good understanding of ourselves unless it's mirrored back to us through another person.
Totally.
Right. And I think that's like also why intimacy is such a beautiful thing. Right. Totally. That like it's both like the joy and the pain, you know, at the same time as relationships with people.
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing about living, you know, and there's so much beauty in it, you know, and I think even some of the most beautiful like pieces, works of art all have to do with that kind of like human condition of like being like a person, like an individual, but being in a relationship to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't exist without everyone.
Right.
Else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Love songs are the best songs, you know, like, I don't know. That's all I got.
I like it.
What's your answer, Sarah?
I think the good and bad. We did a death meditation, and in that meditation, we actually like walked our body through dying, and it was about an hour, and we went like organ by organ, and it was pretty intense. And even for someone who's not afraid to die, I came out of it, and I was like, I love being alive so much. Like,
there's so much to love.
Yes, even the parts that are so shitty, like the worst parts of life, are so good. Like, how lucky that we're the only species on this planet who gets to know pain and know joy, like at the same time, sometimes in the same breath. And I think that's like the most fascinating and intense and just special part of life is how we can do both.
There's like a consciousness of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like what you said. It's just, yeah, joy and pain in in the same breath all the time. And they give birth to another and they're constantly flowing from one end to the other. And I just think it's so amazing.
Yeah. I love the idea of like non-duality, right? Where there's like one thing doesn't exist without the other thing. So they're not separate, right? They're just like, they're two sides of the same coin. This it's a one thing. It's not dualistic.
We're not separate.
Right.
Yeah, we're not separate.
Everything's,
we can hold all of this. We are made to hold all of it. All of it.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless.
God bless America.
Right. God bless us all. Everyone.
Every single one of us.
Kimberly, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, thank you so
much. I feel
much.
Like, well, so the listeners know, we had like a 4-hour meeting a couple days ago. We were talking about the things that we wanted to talk about on this podcast, and we just kept going, and it was just like so fascinating. You know, and I kind of wish that I had brought a recorder or like a microphone
for 4 hours.
For the 4-hour episode, you know, but like that, the moment passed. You just had to be friends with us, you know, and you're not.
You're not.
And like 3 cups of coffee, 4 cups of coffee. So much coffee.
It was like 2 pots of coffee that we went through. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we started talking about death and life and everything. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And it was just like, it was so beautiful.
And we had a baby, a plant baby.
We did.
Minerva.
I said Mervena. Minerva.
The Monstera.
Monstera baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good shit. I really love both of you a lot.
Same.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Kimberly is my most intentional friend. And I love that about you. Kind of like she is intense. And I was actually reading a journal the other day and I was like, I had lunch with Kimberly and she asked me all these really big questions. And normally I would not answer if it was someone else, but around you, I was like, well, fuck, I guess I'm going to have to. But you're so into it and you're so genuine. Like Caleb said, it just makes you want to be your friend. And I just really like having you in my life.
I really like having both of you. I'm so glad we found each other.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for having me on this podcast. It is the best podcast.
Thanks.
Stop it.
It's
thank
just
you.
Like every single one is just like such great conversations. And I want to spend as much time with both of you. So
have you left us a review?
I have.
You have?
Thank you.
And with everyone else should.
3 stars, right?
No. What? 5 stars.
Oh,
there's 5.
I was trying to be humble.
No, there's no time for humility.
5
We are the best. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Duh.
Leave them a review. Yes. Right now. Do it.
Right now.
Right now.
Stop piddling around, as my father would say, and do the dishes like your mother fucking asked you to. And I would say,
okay, sounds like some trauma's coming up. Right, Caleb.
5 stars.
Thank you.
5 stars. And listeners, we love you so much. We just love the shit out of you.
You're all right.
Okay. I love the shit out of you.
I do.
Me
also
too.
Love you.
So does Kimberly. And
so much love.
Please take your life seriously because it's the only one that you have. And
go to a death cafe.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Kimberly?
Support lines are open.
Oh, yes.
If you need them.
We can probably link like the suicide hotline in this episode for people.
Yeah.
And
our DMs
out.
Are open too.
Yes. So. Slide in.
Yeah. Go find. I think we're also going to put Kimberly's Instagram stuff on our show notes too. Mm-hmm. So reach out to her.
And come to Breathing Room.
Yeah.
And hit us up to plan for your life and death.
That's all we got.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.